Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the start of another week. The weekend has been and gone. Interesting weekend football-wise. Would you like me to begin by updating us on the predictions? Football.
Yeah, go on then.
It's a football podcast, Sam. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
It's called Top Flight Time Machine. It's named after the Top Flight, the Premier League.
I thought I was doing my other side pod about fruit.
We'll get rid of that in a minute. Just get this football shit out of the way. Results spot. Predicted 2 correct 1-0 results this weekend.
Oh, that can't.
Chelsea, Newcastle, and where's the other one? Yeah, Wycombe Wanderers versus Sunderland. So 8 points for results spot. 7 Jesus. Points for Andy Dawson.
What did you get?
I got Manchester United, Liverpool 1-1. I almost put money on that as well.
Good prediction.
And 2 points for Sam Delaney. Not a good week.
Oh, I've been knocked off the top spot.
You have.
I think that's the first time I've been knocked off the top spot this season.
I think that Everton, West Ham, you know, did for you. Because you thought that was going to be 2-0 to West Ham.
2-0 West Ham.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
Bad performance?
Yeah. West Ham, it turns out that I have been tricked.
I didn't mean West Ham, I meant you. No, sorry, go on. I did mean West Ham.
I've been tricked out once again by West Ham in the 40 years that I've been following them. I've been consistently tricked for a good 30 to 35 of those seasons.
Every time.
I'm thinking, oh, I think we're good. And this season I was really certain of it. I was like, as you know, I predicted we were going to win the league.
Yeah,
well,
that was
weird. I've got to say to you and the rest of the cunters listening, as it stands today, on Sunday, the whatever it is of October.
20th of October. Yeah.
20th of October. I've got to say my title dreams are fading because West Ham, in actual fact, don't look good. We, in fact, look shit.
Right.
And that is a big disappointment to me. But that's football, I suppose.
But having said that, the league leaders did drop 2 points this afternoon. So you could
that's
have
the only thing that's
that
keeping
yesterday.
My dreams alive. Yeah.
You know, you've got to keep
only
going.
Thing that's keep... No, we were absolutely wiped out. I had such a nice weekend lined up. It was basically the whole weekend surrounded what I call living that rig life, which is what I do, what you do, what a lot of cunters do, especially when it's the off season on the coins. Like in the summer months, you tend to live that coin life, but then once the evenings draw in, it's all about living that rig life,
it's
especially
cozy,
at weekends.
Isn't it? Comfortable. Yeah,
and I was so delighted about we're away from home. But at 12:30 on a Saturday, so your Saturday gets off to a super good start.
Well, it can make or break it, can't it? It can make or break your entire weekend.
And that's exactly right. It broke the weekend because the whole weekend was based on that. And after that, to be honest, I've struggled to motivate myself to do anything other than live that rig life. But I can tell it's been a really good rig life weekend
for me. Sometimes that's all you need
to do. I've not left the rig practically at all.
Sometimes that's all you need to do. You just need to take stock of everything, just switch off. You know, get yourself, you know, curled up in your rig, and just you know,
make a pot of
reset
tea.
Your demons.
I didn't even go over to my mum's for lunch like I usually do today. I told her I had a mild bug, which I think I do.
Right.
But if my sickness is rigitis, then I don't want a cure.
Injected because into my veins, as they say.
The rest of the family went over to my mum's.
Right.
And I had the house to myself, and I got made a pot of tea.
Yeah.
I got the blanket over my legs. I got the laptop out just to deal with various bits of admin, but fun admin. Mm-hmm. And I had the TV on with the build-up, so I got to watch, Roy Keane and Jose Mourinho and Graham Souness doing the build-up.
Again, I've missed that one. My son's got key assessments at school this week, so we've got lots of revision to do. He's got 3 tests tomorrow, so we've been revising all afternoon. Science, Spanish, English.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Have you had to learn Spanish just to help him?
Yeah, I've been learning 1 to 20 in Spanish. Have
oh
you seen it when
God.
It gets to like fucking 16 and 17 and 18? Fucking nightmare. It's
really?
Barely legible.
Yeah, well, that's the Spanish for you.
I can't think of any circumstances in Spanish why you'd need to use 16, 17,
Mate,
or 18.
You're talking about a people who don't have their tea till gone midnight, for fuck's sake. You know,
the kids steal
these are
3
not,
in the morning.
These are people who instinctively like to complicate things.
Yeah.
You know? And when they do have their tea, they don't put it all on one fucking plate.
Mm.
They divide all the ingredients up into about 20 little tiny dishes.
Like little buckets.
Saucers, really.
Yeah.
With each component of your tea on a different saucer.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about their culture is about complicating things.
Sounds fucking great. So, yeah, I've been doing
that. The only
that.
Good thing the Spanish do is that they, to be fair, were the trailblazers for kipping in the day.
Yeah.
Which is something now we're very fond of.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. So the Rig Life weekend.
Rig Life weekend. Hashtag Rig Life. All weekend. It was great. Yesterday, I spent most of the day in my rig, and then in the evening, some friends were coming around, my mates. My mate was coming around with his family, and we all get together because the kids like to get together around this time of year and have a Strictly Come Dancing night where they all watch it
all
together
right, yeah.
and everyone votes all that, right? So it's a bit of a tradition. And I'd laid on pizza. I said I'd cook, but because I was feeling a bit with this laid low with this mild buck that I've spoken of, all I did was get a load of oven pizzas and knock up a bowl of salad to like go with it as a concession.
What more could you want?
And then but I didn't even get out the rig when they all sat round the table. Like our dining rig is sort of open plan, you know, so the TV, my main rig, what would you call that, your principal rig?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah
I remained in my principal rig while they all ate, just looking at the telly.
With the blanket over your legs.
Yeah, I did. And I kept going, yeah, sorry, I can't join you. I've got this bug, see?
Could you not take advantage of the situation and wear a Dick Turpin mask over your mouth?
Nah, I did
That'd
go full. I did. The other thing is, I mean, to be fair, this is my best mate, and I've, you know, known his missus for a long time as well. So they're the best mates to have over because I didn't even bother getting changed out of my rig wear, which was full tracksuit and slippers.
Nice.
Didn't bother. They're coming round. Didn't bother. Hadn't shaved. What's the point?
It's weekend.
I know them so well.
Fucking rig weekend.
Why invite people to your house? Never invite someone over to your house whereby you've got to get changed in your own house.
That's
never have a friend round that requires you to shave.
You're providing the hospitality, so therefore you need to make minimum effort.
Exactly.
You know, personal
answer life. The door with a look that says, this is me, take it or leave it.
Stand there, arms outstretched, have a look. If you like it, come on in. If it's not for
drink
you,
drink it in.
Off
if
you
it's
go.
Not to your taste, TTFN. Fuck off around a different mate. Now, what I'm getting round to, of course, is probably the main order of business is that after we'd watched Strictly, The Wall came on, and I went, oh, fuck, I've heard of this. This is what Danny Dyer's doing. My mate went, fucking watch it, mate. And I said, have you seen it? And he went, I haven't seen it, a whole show. He goes, but I've seen a trailer where Danny Dyer holds his arms out as if he's beckoning on Millwall's top boys. and he says to The Wall, give us some reddies, you mug, to The Wall. And I thought, no way. But it checks out. That's actually what Danny Dyer says in one of the promos. And so I was like, all right, we're watching this. So we watched it. And the only person who enjoyed it more than me and my mate was Len.
Good.
Who I allowed to stay up and he says it's the best television programme he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And this morning woke me up real early so we could go back and watch episode one on iPlayer, which we did first thing this morning. And if anything, it was even better than episode two,
was
which
it?
Aired last night.
I watched episode two in preparation for today's podcast, and it was, fuck me, it was a roller coaster of emotions, Sam.
Yeah,
Jesus,
it really was.
Christ. By the end of it, I was wondering whether this couple were going to get counselling from the BBC. Because,
well, I mean,
are we going to give away spoilers and stuff like that?
Because I don't think we can do the full spoiler, but he, the husband, first of all, as Danny Dyer pointed out really early when she went into the isolation unit,
yeah,
right? He goes to the bloke. You did well pulling her, didn't you? Because she was more attractive. She was objectively more attractive than him.
Well, obviously,
plus,
yeah.
He was very highly strung.
Yeah.
The bloke.
Yeah.
And that's why at the end, when things turned out the way they did, I thought, fucking hell, I don't know whether he's going to be able to cope. There was no telling what he was going to do because he was an emotionally volatile man from Bolton.
He handled it in the best way that he could have handled it on the face of it. I don't know what it was like afterwards.
Yeah,
once
that's
they got off stage
about.
And all of that, when they were just together alone. But fucking hell. But the wall in itself, if you ever played the game Peggle, the game,
no.
It's kind of like that where you've got
balls.
Is that
balls. What it's based on, basically?
There's a coin drop element to it. There's a slight coin influence, isn't it? You've got balls that are falling down between pegs. What's it called? Is it Plinko or something like that?
Nah, I don't know. Not Kaplunk.
Nah, that would be a good game. Huge Kaplunk.
Yeah, massive giant.
And they've
Kaplunk.
Got to climb up and pull the straws out.
It's hard to explain. If you haven't seen The Wall, it's hard to explain.
You've got
to
watch it.
It's complicated, but in the best way, because there are a lot of rules, but that is why I think it sustains 50 minutes, which is quite long for a game show, because there are so many elements, and every time you think, it's like a great movie where every time you think you've seen the last twist, another twist emerges.
Yeah, there's a plot line, isn't there?
There's non-stop jeopardy, and that's what you need in a game show.
Yeah.
You need a game that has inherent jeopardy built into it every turn. And every time you think they're in the clear, or every time you think they've blown it, there's always one more thing that can still happen. And Dyer sort of presides over the whole thing with aplomb is all
he's,
I can
he's
say.
He's like a Cockney circus barker, I think.
He is, yeah. Because he's really different to any other host we've seen before, because what he doesn't do, you've got your classics of the genre. For me, it's like Brucey and Monkhouse were the two greatest ever game show hosts, right? And they were both, like, Monkhouse was a joke machine, right? And then Brucey was, he sort of did jokes, Brucey, but he was more about creating a spirit.
Yeah.
And the other thing Brucey was really good at was just ripping the piss out of the contestants. And then probably the third of the game show Holy Trinity would be Noel, because what Noel was good, Noel couldn't do any jokes or really generate an atmosphere other than to, he could infuse things with suspense
and
drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that didn't warrant it at all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Randomly
hence the success of
boxes.
Deal or No Deal, yeah. But what Dyer doesn't conform to any of those things. Dyer turns up unshaven, like he looks like he's off the back of a 3-day hangover, right? He almost flagrantly doesn't really care about the rules, right? He doesn't bother doing jokes, right? Sometimes his eyes wander like you do when you've got a hangover, like he's thinking about something that had happened the night before. And yet none of this stops it being absolutely brilliant.
I love how the guests love him. I love how he's got into this on the back of his EastEnders success. But if he'd come along to audition for this and done what he does, he'd be just escorted from the building by security straight away,
they'd just
wouldn't
go,
he?
No way. Yeah. What are you bringing to it?
Yeah.
But it doesn't
matter. Insane.
And all he needs to do is chuck in a couple of his bits. Like the loveliest bit on episode one was, which I watched this morning. Basically last night, 10 minutes in, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Like just the fact that he's on the BBC calling these contestants babe and baby all the way through. Yeah, come on then, baby. Go on, baby. Do it. do your best now, baby. Go on, baby. You're lovely, right? And my missus and my mate's missus are like, He can't say that, which is just making me enjoy it even more, right? Because he's got them all clutching their pearls with outrage, right? And so he's come out with a few classics, and of course the trailer bit where he says, give us some Reddies, you mug. But then in episode one, at one point, he says, two sisters. It's not a couple, two sisters in episode one. And they're playing because they're from Leeds, right? Which, by the way, Dyer goes, from Leeds, aren't you? That's a proper gaff, ain't it? That's a proper gaff, right? And they go, yeah, it's done it, right, that. And he goes, what are you playing for? What do you need the money for, right? And they go, oh.
What's this about? What are you doing here?
What's your agenda, all right? And they go, well, we want to take the whole family out to see my mum's brother, who's in Australia. He's moved to Australia, and we ain't seen him, right, in 9 years. And I thought to myself, well, he's a fucking cunt then, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fucked off.
He's fucked off to Australia, and he hasn't made the effort to visit or kind of try and fly one of you out there for 9 fucking years. He doesn't deserve you all going out. Anyway,
probably
that's another story.
Just guessing. No,
yeah, who knows? He's probably sitting watching the live feed on BBC iPlayer or something, giving it, hell. Fucking lose when the balls are coming down the wall. He's urging the Red Bulls to go into the 50K slot, right? So anyway, he's done all that, and he goes, right, you know the bit where the Red Bulls drop and you're going to find out
if you're gonna lose
how much money they remove? And he goes, oh, it's tense, isn't it? Let's see what the Wolves going to do. And he looks, he goes, what do you reckon? Do you reckon it's about to take some liberties? And it's like, Danny, you're talking about a wall. And like, what's amazing? And he goes, is it going to take some liberties? He sort of looks at it like he's ready to like smash its face in. And what's amazing is that it's like the wall in the eyes of Danny and the contestants and the audience and even us sitting at home. Even though it's just an inanimate object, it takes on a personality of its own. And you only need to watch for 5 minutes before you start thinking of it as having human characteristics.
It's got elements of a result spot for me.
It does, yeah.
Doesn't it?
But it's sort of more sinister because it's dead-eyed. Yeah. It's just a wall.
There's
That's all
face
it
is. On it, is there?
There's not a face. It doesn't do anything. It's completely dispassionate. And yet you do find yourself going to Danny saying out loud, like, because me and Len are talking all the way through to Danny Dyer, right, answering his questions and stuff. It's one of those games where you're totally invested in it.
He's one of your people, isn't he? So that's why you would do that.
Well,
I didn't find myself doing that.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jalapeño.
Len said to me, I really like this guy. I really like him. Who is he? And I went, who is he? I went, he's off EastEnders. You know, Len's never seen EastEnders because, you know, obviously we're very middle class and he only watches documentaries about nature and
so
forth. And I said, he's a massive West Ham fan. And Len, he's like, oh, fucking hell. I absolutely love the bloke.
This is new God.
Brilliant. Lenny last night was chanting the wall.
Yeah.
He was going, wall, 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 wall. After the show was over, he's that into
wall,
it. Wall, 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 wall. We've got a date, me, him and my best mate, we've got a date every Saturday night from now on for the rest of the run to watch it.
Watching the wall.
But it's like you said to me in your text, the way in which people think of it as a character is also reflected in the way in which when the balls are dropping, the contestants start running at the wall and shouting at it.
Instructions. Go on, to the left, to the left. No, get it in there. As if they could influence
the bloke from
it.
Bolton. I thought he was going to jump on it, like, and start trying to climb up it and rattle it and shake it. Like, you see people getting frustrated with a fruit machine, don't you, sometimes? And they start trying to be... I thought he was going to attack the wall.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a fun fact about the wall.
Okay.
Because my mate, the other reason he was really into it, having not ever seen an episode, was he'd seen Danny Dyer on Jonathan Ross promoting it.
Okay.
And he said it was really funny because Dyer tried to explain it, and then just went, to be honest, I can't really explain the rules. You're better off just watching it.
It's off its fucking nut.
Yeah. He kept saying that, didn't he? He kept going, this has been absolutely nutty, yeah, this, isn't it?
Yeah,
you've
been
on a right nutty little journey.
Yeah.
Right? And so he admitted he couldn't explain the rules of his own game show. But
that's the charm.
The studio is in Poland. They went to Poland and filmed the whole series there. Because, apparently, there's no... Dyer claimed you couldn't get a wall that big in any studio in the UK.
That figures.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Weren't big enough. So we had to find one out in Poland, yeah, right? So they've gone out to Poland. Danny, the key members of the television crew,
yeah,
and the contestants, right?
And
they all
friends,
like, stay in a hotel. And their mates who they have in the audience.
Inexplicably,
yeah, which is
sitting
weird.
There.
Inexplicably,
I thought,
yeah,
they were going to, like, contribute something, but they didn't, did they?
But do you know why they do that? What, rewatch it, right? They have the friends, and they do a spotlight on them, and they talk to them. Look behind the friends, right? And there's loads of people sitting in the shadows, right?
Right.
Looking really perplexed by the whole thing. Because they're all Polish, right?
They speak no English.
They fucking get a rent-a-crowd in Poland. And they don't speak a word of English. And Danny Dyer apparently said to Jonathan Ross, yeah, I mean, the rest of the audience, they were all Polish. They didn't have a fucking clue what was going on.
We then, have to hold a sign up and tell them when to clap.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the show, if you look while the credits roll, there's a few English names, and the rest of it, all
Polish,
like the cameramen and all the rest of it, everyone's Polish.
So
there you go, a little fun fact.
Does
about
this mean them. If we have Brexit, then we're going to lose the wall immediately?
Well, there's a risk of that, I suppose.
Shit.
Fucking hell. I tell you what, I would have been out on that march yesterday,
yeah,
through London
that,
if I'd not met.
Yeah, well,
my missus went, but I was like, fucking West Ham Everton's on at 12:30.
Yeah,
I mean,
priority,
I'm all for
it,
democracy, but let's get our fucking priorities straight.
Couple of more things about the wall. Getting back to that politically incorrect sort of stuff you were talking about earlier. Did you see when she came out of isolation and he went over and gave her a hug and he went, oh, I've missed ya. Fucking great.
Some
I missed
of the
you, dollface.
I missed ya. Oh,
and then,
you had a right result when you pulled her, didn't you?
Come here. Hit me, put me arms around ya. And have you seen who it was devised by? There's three
you
names.
Are?
There's three names of people who devised the wall. One of them,
oh yeah,
LeBron James, NBA
no
player.
Way.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And I thought I was seeing things. LeBron James, so it's a big deal in America, this show.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't help it.
There's
amazing.
LeBron James, and there's a fella who runs his business empire, his entertainment empire that comes out of the whole NBA stuff. So I don't know how
I got a cool game show idea, and I want this guy Danny Dyer to present it.
I mean, LeBron James is obviously just ball obsessed, isn't he? With the basketball and that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you see where
it
comes from.
He would have had the idea when he was warming up once.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, great, great show, and you know, I know a lot of cunters saw me tweeting about it and tuned in themselves, and I would encourage everyone to rig up on a Saturday night and get yourselves watching the wall.
Get your
as
family
much as
together
possible,
because it's proper family telly.
It's really good. Like, literally everyone shouting at the TV. Len was practically crying. Well, I mean, honestly, you think the drama in episode 2's big. The drama in episode 1, if anything,
really?
Is bigger.
Oh, I'm watching that tonight then. I'm watching that.
Watch it tonight. It's amazing. The amazing thing is, in some shows, I've realised just from the first two episodes, at the denouement of the show, you can think that people who have won have in fact lost.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So without any spoilers, in one of the episodes, you feel like the people who've actually done well, but you feel like they've done really badly,
yeah,
and that's how they feel. And in another show, the exact opposite. So what it means is LeBron James is a genius, because he's built into this show, no matter what happens in the end, there is huge drama and heartache.
Yeah. Do you know what it's like? It's like one of those choose your own adventure things where you've got so many different options of which road you can go down.
Imagine
and what you can
choose
do.
Your own adventure, but with Dyer.
Fucking hell.
It's just the best. It's the best show.
Episode two, my jaw absolutely hit the fucking floor at the end. Because I didn't know what the format was. I didn't know what was coming. Jesus Christ.
It's got so many tricks up its sleeve. At first you think, this is simple.
Yeah.
And then there's just more layers, more layers. I'm trying to think of a film that it reminds me of. I mean, it's a little bit like The Usual Suspects. But anyway,
Daddy,
that's the
Daddy Dyer
for you.
Walks off at the end, trailing his leg.
With a limp.
And then walks, and then the limp disappears. And we've all been done.
I had one other football opinion, which is watching that game this afternoon, which was a pretty poor game, Liverpool Man United. Fucking, I swore that I'd never show an interest in this subject because it was too fucking tedious and everyone had an opinion. But I now realise I actually hate VAR.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
In the first half, this is a massive game. Some people would argue it's the number one. I think it remains the most watched club match in the world, right? Because of the size of the global audiences. Huge tension, huge excitement, a packed stadium. Fucking amazing,
almost
right? You always tune in.
And almost always a really terrible match.
Yeah, but you've got all of this stuff surrounding it, right? We've got two goals within about 10 minutes of each other in the first half. Both of them, the teams and the fans couldn't really celebrate, and none of us at home could, because the moment the ball went in, you looked at the ref, which you instinctively do anyway, even before VAR you did that, and the ref sort of kept his hands by his side and looked around, not knowing whether or not to announce goal. And then we all had to sit there. And that is now the greatest moments in football are the moments when the goals go in.
Yeah.
The moment of excitement and revelation, right? The euphoria. They've taken the most magical part out of football.
It's almost like it's off the wall, and it's like there's a twist. It's like, right, the ball is in the back of the net, now the
Hold
scientific
on,
inquest must begin. Yeah.
Hold on, babes.
Sit
now,
back,
you've
everyone.
Got a goal. You've got a goal, babes. Great, well done. But
it's not safe.
Is it going to count?
It's not safe.
Let's ask Angela Rippon. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I like about the wall, right? You know, like, going back to like Brucey or whatever, there's always like a catchphrase. So every single part of the game, they sort of elevate even the mundane mechanics of any game by giving them snappy titles or catchphrases, right? So with Brucey, he's always like, you know, nothing for a pair, not in this game, right? And what do points win? Prizes, right? And that's a really good sort of way of delivering a game show, because obviously there are boring mechanical bits, but if you've got a host who can dress it up with something a little bit funny or engaging or memorable, then that's good. But in the wall, right, there's a simple bit where an answer is given to a question and then there is a reveal about whether the contestant has got the answer right or wrong, which in turn has a huge impact on the next stage. So it's an exciting bit
like,
but it's a bit of business you've got to get out of the way.
Like,
and I thought, how are they going to spin this, right? Mm. And they've got the voice of Angela Rippon, whose face they never show, which is a bit sinister, and to me adds in some way to the slight un-PC nature of the show. But anyway, right? And Danny's catchphrase for that bit, when they find out whether the answer is right or wrong, is, Angela, is it right or is it wrong? That's it. And you're thinking, how long did it take the writers to come up with that? Angela, really massive moment of tension. Is it right or is it wrong? Wait, is that it? Can you afford something that rhymed? Do you know what I mean? Even Paddy McGuinness comes up with something.
I kind of almost want to say, is it right or is it not? For a bit of a spin, a bit of a twist on it. I'd also like to see Angela Rippon's Angela Rippon being kind of hologram form, like Patrick Moore used to be on Games Master. Just floating.
It feels like something's missing when he mentions that, and he does this whole routine. Oh, I'm obsessed with her. She's gorgeous. She's bloody lovely. And you sort of think, if she's as gorgeous as you're saying, mate, why aren't they letting
her
on camera?
She obviously couldn't.
Because I'm suspicious.
She's clearly not in Poland. She's clearly doesn't.
Well, yeah,
done
that's
the trek
it.
Out.
We're not fucking flying Rippon over as well. There's no point. We'll just have her fucking voice.
Angela, we want you to do the questions for this new game show. Are you up for it? Oh, it sounds fantastic. Very different to what I'm used to. Yes, I'll definitely do it. Second thing is, it's in Poland. No, forget it.
Don't worry, then. Just record something into this phone.
We'll use
your voice. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, with the old VAR, it is like that. It stops, and then you imagine Dial swaggering on in his double-breasted suit. But VAR, is it right or is it wrong?
VAR's had a really bad weekend. I know we don't want to talk about this shit all the time, but VAR's had a really, really rough weekend. VAR seems to do all right for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then it has a fucking meh. And this weekend it's had a meh.
I reckon they should pack it in. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just let that, because the amount of goals so far, I can't think of any goals that were like, what we wanted was things like the Frank Lampard like goal against Germany to be ruled out, right? Yeah. But I can't remember a single clear-cut goal like that. What I can remember is goals that have been disallowed because someone in the build-up was half a millimetre offside their toe. And I think that we would rather... You'd always rather have a goal than not a goal in a game.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to get goals, more goals ruled out than ruled in because of tiny technicalities, then
it automatically that
takes something away from the game as well.
It automatically means fewer goals.
I'm talking about goals.
Yeah. It's all about goals, isn't it? It's what we want.
It's all about goals, mate. It's all about goals and also opinions.
But I don't mind VAR being used, but then when they use VAR and then get the decision wrong. I mean, they had a look at that foul in the build-up to Manchester United's goal, and it did look like a foul to me. I'd have given that as a foul. And they fucking went, well, yeah, it's probably not. The goal stands. Weird.
One other thing I was disappointed in is obviously last season when they first had Keane and Souness on together, we were delighted. And we've spoken regularly on this podcast about how much admiration we have for Sky Sports coverage of the game and all of the individuals concerned. However, part of me did think the problem is now is that they've got Jose, Souness and Keane together, which on the face of it should be a dream ticket. But the problem is, it's the three school bullies, right? And they've all formed a gang together and they all basically get on because they share a similar worldview.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was much better when Keane had, like, when Keane's got someone to bully, like Gary Neville, and there's an atmosphere of fear.
Oh, that time when Joe Hart was in, and Joe Hart was sat there.
Yeah, and he was just
petrified.
Just sat there frozen to his seat. But, you know, Souness basically just likes and admires Roy Keane.
Yeah.
And you know it's getting to the point to say, Roy, you and me, we should take it to the next level. I'm talking socialising. Maybe with the wives, maybe not. A bit of dinner, perhaps, I don't know, visit a National Trust site.
Maybe.
But me and you need to be spending more time together, Roy. Okay?
But
I've noticed with you, you're a lonely man. I've got my friendships in life.
Yeah.
You know, I was friends with Dale Winton, right, for many years. Many other people. Who are your friends? You don't have any. I'll be your friend, Roy.
There was those two student guys in Durham, but you don't see them anymore. I've heard all about
that about it
on a podcast.
How'd you know about them? I read about it in your book. And I read those couple of fucking Nancy boys who do the podcast. You know the one. Yeah, I've heard about that. I'm dealing with that.
That's my
I'm not sure about friends, you know. I think it's, you know, I had a friend once. I had a friend once and he betrayed me. He went off with his skateboard when we were supposed to be playing football. And I swore to myself that day I'd never have another friend in my life. Aye, but I'm different, aren't I? I'm different from all those other people. Those friends who let you down.
I don't have a skateboard, Roy. I'm not allowed one after my heart surgery.
I'm not going to let you down with a skateboard or any other kind of transport. Modern transport.
A C5.
I don't believe in
it. A Segway. Nothing like that. One of them hoverboards.
One of those electronic scooters. No, no way.
Rollerblades.
If I go anywhere, it's either in my chauffeur-driven Mercedes or it's by foot.
On a jet plane. First class.
I'll give it a go. Well, I don't know. I was then. I went a bit Scottish. Anyway, I think it's lacking conflict, and I think I don't know whether Gary and Jamie are too scared of the others, and
possibly
that's why they've been asked to be put in the gantry with Martin Tyler.
Yeah, it's like you say. They're all alpha male in it, aren't they? And they're all too comfortable with it all.
Exactly, and I think that, you know, the only good bit today was where he started saying, "Look at that there in the tunnel." Did you see this?
I missed that.
Look at them there in the tunnel.
About it, yeah.
Look, they're all chatting and hugging
kiss
with each other. It's ridiculous. Yeah, leave that till after the game. Or in fact, don't do it at all. Don't even do it after the
game.
Don't
speak to them after the game.
Don't acknowledge them. They're your enemy. So that was quite good. But it was, I feel like he's getting a bit relaxed and nice. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on it. But, you know, I know that some of the Sky people are listening. And all I would say is mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
Roy Keane and Graham Smith, they need people to intimidate. They like each other too much. We're missing conflict.
I think, just to sum it all up as we come to the end of this episode, what we've learned over the last 30-plus minutes is that the Wall is now better than Premier League football.
I think it is.
I think it is. We've turned a corner.
Yeah.
So there we go. Do you want some quick news of that news before we go?
Yeah, go on.
These are from a few days ago, but you probably haven't heard of them. Paris Zoo unveils the Blob, an organism with no brain but 720 sexes.
Yeah, I've heard this. I'll give it a 10. Okay. But obviously I was disgruntled because it seemed to have nicked our...
They've nicked it from us, haven't they?
From our
random
blob,
fixture generator. Yeah. Cat accused of delivering drugs to Russian prison colony escapes holding area in petting zoo.
Yeah, 10. I like anything about escaped animals or intelligent cats.
That deliver drugs. And finally, dead man pranks funeral goers by screaming from coffin in pre-recorded message as he's lowered into the ground.
10.
I mean, it's all there in the headline, but that's, even so.
I know, but you want more. I want to hear some more about his background. Yeah, I want a deep dive.
There we are then. That's it from this one. We'll be back tomorrow with another one. Ta-da.
Yeah, like it or not, TTFN, dickheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.